Shalom Rabbi Galperin, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. How are you, Ilan?
I'm good. Back in winter.
I know, it's so good to be back on air.
It is. Actually, last week we had some technical difficulties and I had to do Parashat Ki Teseh by myself.
That must have been amazing.
I think it was okay.
That's good. I guarantee it probably was. With your expertise, it probably was great.
Yeah, but with you, it's different.
Together, we make
Together,
it different.
Together, that's it.
Beautiful.
So, Parashat Ki Tavo.
Yeah, Parashat Ki Tavo. It's a very interesting parashat. Really, one of the things I saw that is very fascinating in this week's Torah portion is the concept of Bikurim.
Yeah.
Which is the first fruit offerings that the Jewish fathers in the Holy Land were commanded to bring in thanksgiving to God for the land and its produce. And very similar also, you know, on Shavuot, when they would bring the Bikurim baskets up and, you know, they would put the fruits and the flowers, and it would just be a beautiful event. But the Bikurim, which is talking about in this week's Torah portion, is basically thanking God for the land and for its produce that they are now benefiting from.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a basic level, Bikurim remind us never to become ungrateful for the things we are blessed with in life. We always have to say thank you and not taking things for granted, because when we don't have it, it's a little bit of a problem. So, interestingly, the law of Bikurim that we talked about in this Torah portion only took effect 14 years after the Jewish people entered the Promised Land.
And that's why?
And that's because it took 7 years to conquer the land.
Yeah.
And then another 7 to split the land up amongst equally, and that everyone should be happy amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. And only when that process was completed did the law of the first fruits become applicable. Now, the real question is, as you also mentioned, is, well, why? There had to be quite a few tribes who were settled earlier, and no doubt some of the farmers who had received their pieces of land, you know, that they already were the lucky ones, they already started to plant, and they saw that the first fruits of their labors were coming out. So the question is, why then were they not required to show their appreciation immediately when they saw food right away by bringing the Bikurim offering to God? Why is it that it took 14 years? It could have taken a year, 2 years, whatever it may be, the time that there was a lot of land that was allocated during this whole process of the 14 years. People got lucky, they got their land earlier. So those people, why shouldn't those people have been doing the Sitzel of Bikurim? Why did they have to wait till everyone was settled, and only after then they will have to do it? And so the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains that in commanding this mitzvah of the Torah, he uses a specific phrase, and it says that, and you shall rejoice with all the good that Hashem, the Lord your God, has given you. And in order to be able to fully experience the joy of his own blessing in life, a Jew needs to know that his brothers and sisters have been blessed as well. And as long as one Jew knew that there were others who had not yet been settled in the land, because they hadn't got their land yet, he could not fully be happy.
Yeah.
And since simcha, genuine joy, was a very big component in the mitzvah of the Bikurim, in the commandment of doing this Bikurim, it could only be fulfilled when everyone had been satisfied. Only then can a Jew experience true simcha, true happiness, and sincere and genuine joy. Because knowing that our friends and our cousins are still fighting to conquer the land, or even that they're not yet enjoying their own share in the land, somehow you know, it takes away the appetite of celebration. Even though we personally feel happy and we're going to rejoice, but we can't have the complete joy and simcha knowing that the other, our other brothers and sisters have not been taken care of. And I remember reading there's a story that was written in the diary of Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson describing his arrest and his imprisonment by the communists in Russia, which was back, I believe, in 1927, around that time.
Okay.
And Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, which was the sixth Chabad rabbi, was a huge spiritual leader of Russian Jewry at the time. And the Soviets sentenced him to death for his religious activities on behalf of the people. And miraculously, obviously, there was a sentence was supposed to be for many, many years, and then he was released after 3 weeks in prison, but he really only served 9 days of the 3 years of his exile. And Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak was he was an expressive writer. And he described his incarceration and the torture that he suffered at the hand of these people, these guards of the Soviet prison. And one of the prison guards was unbelievably cruel. He himself told this rabbi that when he would beat and torture a prisoner, he would derive so much pleasure from watching the man suffer that when he would drink his tea, he would not need any sugar. Why? Because just watching the torture of this person in prison sweetened his tea as though it was the greatest dose of sugar. So obviously that was a vicious anti-Semite. That was a terrible thing. However, a Jew experiences the reverse sensation. You know, we cannot enjoy our tea
without knowing that we're sharing it with our
brothers. Yeah. Correct. Or the first fruit, knowing that our fellow brother, our fellow sister is still unsettled. And the sweetest fruit go bitter in our mouths, brought down in one of the medrashes, one of the explanations on the Torah. It says that the sweetest fruits of bitter in our mouths, they become so bitter, even though they're so sweet, they become so bitter because we feel the need of our brethren. So, if a person has a job, or he thinks of someone who is not as lucky, he doesn't have a job. Or if we're happily married, we think of those people that are still looking to get married. And obviously now as the holiday season is coming, Rosh Hashanah is nearly here, that if we're privileged enough to be able to, you know, buy beautiful things for our family, buy new clothing for our family, and we have to be able to still think and spare that thought for those people who don't necessarily have that luxury of being able to do this.
And when you look at this parasha, you see that it's not just your fellow brothers and sisters, the Jewish. It's even the people that work for you that are not Jewish.
It's everyone. Correct. Right. Why is that? Because every single person is a creation of Hashem, is a creation of God. So therefore, the person might not necessarily be of the same faith of what I am, but that doesn't take away the fact that I still have an obligation to make sure that person has what he needs. I don't have joy, so that person is not lying homeless on the street. It's up to me to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And when we plan our meals and our holidays and so on and so forth, we should always have in mind our brothers, our sisters, and also the people of the human race, that everyone that needs help should be able to help, and I should be able to do it in my way. And obviously in the merit of this, God will give us a joyous and sweet, that it will truly be sweet, a healthy and sweet year. Why? Because we're not only thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about everyone, we're including everyone, and that's what the main important thing is of Bikurim. And that's why, even though some Jews and some people had already their land and they could have done Bikurim and the commandments already, but no. Until the last person didn't have what they needed, there was no such a thing as having a joy of Simcha. And therefore, they had to wait. And I thought that was such a lesson that we can learn in today's life to be able to not, you know, sit down for a second and think about other people.
Yeah, the importance of sharing.
100%. 100%.
Good. And Rabbi, what about services in...
Services in Shari Tzedek are not as... This week, Friday evening, we started a little bit earlier for the next couple of weeks. It's 7 p.m. Friday evening service and Shabbat morning, 9 a.m. And we do have our annual community barbecue, which is going to be this Sunday. This is our third or fourth year, I can't remember. It was in, it's open to the whole community. It's on the front lawn of the Shaar Tzedek at 4:30 this Sunday. There is a fee of $7 a person, but there will be a lot of food and a lot of nice atmosphere socializing, and it's a good event to get into the spirit of the holidays and of Rosh Hashanah. And we might even, if everyone's luck, we might even have a little l'chaim.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah, everyone's invited to that, and it's open to the whole community.
That's good. So thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, and we will, God willing, speak next week. Hopefully, maybe next week we will
start to talk about the high
Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Rosh Hashanah. So that, looking forward to that. Always
same
beautiful.
Same here. Good. So, thank you again, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. We'll speak next week.
Bye-bye.